this is the last day of this month. And of course, our Centers for Spiritual Living theme for the year is value-based spirituality. The theme for August continues to be spiritual living through love, compassion, and caring. We have been focusing on ways to open our hearts to each other, to be kind to one another, to understand rather than first looking to be understood. We have been practicing loving kindness, as His Holiness the Dalai Lama says. Be kind whenever possible, and it is always possible. And that's what we've been doing. And we have been gearing up with our love, our kindness, our compassion. Today, I want us to continue to do that, but perhaps initially with a little different direction. Today is about note to self, be kind to self. Isn't it time? How are we going to feed the people who come to our door hungry and we go to the cupboard and there's nothing there? Of course, we are learning to be kind and loving and compassionate with ourselves. Rumi says, be kind to yourself, dear. I love it when he calls us dear. Be kind to yourself, dear, to our innocent follies. Forget any sounds or touch you knew that did not help you dance. You will come to see that all evolves us. That really does involve taking a look at some of the things over our lives that we thought didn't serve us well, or that we made some mistakes about, or that something or someone did to us. And we take another look and we reframe it, and we see that everything, that's without exception, that we have experienced has added to the sum total of our consciousness today and what we are ready and willing and able to co-create with the infinite spirit of the Almighty together today. Our hearts are open to each other. We have focused on seeing each other's divinity, and we continue to do that. But now we're not going to leave ourselves behind. Self-nurture is a wonderful thing. It isn't selfish. Or maybe we ought to realize that there's some healthiness in a little bit of selfishness. It doesn't mean that we're forgetting about other people. It simply means we're remembering that it has to start here. When we remember that, we want to spend good God time. Good God time. Wonderful, meaningful, healthy, productive God time. We have many meditators here in this group. We meditate together here sometimes. Sometimes it's silent. Sometimes it's guided. Sometimes it's something that we share together, like an om. Whatever it is, we're finding our way back to source. And that's the greatest self-nurture we can do, is to withdraw from the world of relativity and activity and busyness and get it done and deadlines. I've changed that to lifelines. Don't you like that better? So that we don't feel this incredible constant compunction to do and do and do. As we've heard for years, we don't wish to be human doings. We wish to be divine human beings. And so we're learning, we're teaching ourselves to spend this special, precious time. Quiet time, with a candle, without a candle, sitting quietly by yourself, maybe having a special place where you're drawn to meditate each day, just to get quiet and listen, and to fill up with the presence of spirit, and take that out with you wherever you go. To me, that's number one in self-nurture. Other wonderful things like making healthy choices about food and movement, about thoughts and about emotions. Do you realize? Yes, you do. That's why you're here. That we have more choice about our thoughts and even about our emotions than we may in the past have realized. We can choose and choose again. It's been said that you're not responsible for your first thought, but you are responsible for your second thought. That's important, because things are just going to fly in, right? And you'll hear something fly out of your mouth every now and then. Anybody here have things fly out of your mouth? I remember a couple that had worked with many, many years ago spoke about, they became aware that they weren't always speaking kindly to one another. And the phrase that they began to use was, "Sometimes I feel that there are toads coming out of your mouth." Anybody ever have toads? Sounds familiar? Whether you're receiving or giving toads, it's not the best plan. We have control more than we realize. And it's not hold on, white knuckle control. It's simply making a different choice. It's as easy as that. Because every time we think, we're setting the law into motion. Now, I'm not talking about just passing thoughts. Thank God we don't demonstrate every passing thought that comes through our minds. Isn't that a good thing? But that upon which we focus, that which we begin to entertain more often throughout the day, is what ultimately shows up in our life experience. So it makes a lot more sense to focus on the positive, to let our conversations be in heaven, both the external conversations, when maybe pearls come out instead of strange little animals, and our internal conversation as well. It's wonderful. I remember somebody used to set a watch every hour, and it would ding, and then they would ask themselves, "What was I thinking right now?" Isn't that a great idea? Just to get a sense of what direction am I sending my thoughts, and what direction am I sending my feelings? It's a wonderful thing to stop and think, "What am I feeling right now? Is that my choice? Is that what I would like to continue feeling?" Because normally, if it's a negative feeling, it's something that's a memory from the past. We're not living fully in the powerful moment of now, but we're schlepping something with us from the past. You like that? we are bringing something to this moment, and we're messing up the moment. Let's keep our moments, our present now, powerful moment, clean and clear. Because when we bring something from the past that doesn't feel good into this moment, we're creating that in the future. And we're much more intelligent than that. We're realizing the power of our thoughts and the power of our feelings. And so it's a very loving thing to choose not only what we put in our mouths to nurture our bodies, but what comes out of our mouths to nurture our relationships, what is flowing through our thoughts and our feelings in order to nurture ourselves. We know that. Loving, wonderful friend, minister friend of mine many years ago was the one who shared with me, "You know, Maxine, discipline," because that's, you know, kind of gets bad press sometimes, discipline. Who wants discipline? I do. Comes from the root disciple. You know? I want all the parts and components of my persona to be in alignment with the spirit within me, and those are my disciples, and spirit within me is that which I wish to follow. So he said, "Discipline is simply loving yourself enough to do what is good for you." Don't you love that? It's loving yourself enough to do what is good for you. Now, another wonderful thing that's good for us all is self-forgiveness, just as I was sharing with the kids this morning. Do you realize as we clear out all of the stuff, the baggage we've been dragging with us, probably for years, and often not even, are we even aware of it? It keeps showing up, and suddenly we realize, oh, I'm bringing something to this present situation that it would have been nice for me to have left behind a long time ago, but I'm aware of it now. Thank goodness I'm aware of it now. And I want to reframe the past. So I'm not forgetting the things that took place, but I'm removing the charge from them. Remember, we want to be able to give everybody in our lives who's ever been in our lives, who occurs to us from time to time and might trigger us in any way, we want to give them harmless passage through our minds. Huh? That includes ourselves. Have you ever kind of beaten yourself up for something that you wish you hadn't done? Well, don't do it anymore, okay? That's it. It's as simple as that. I'm done. Oh, no, I guess there's a little bit more. Let's forgive and release any and all regret from the past. That's a big order. Well, let's do it. Bite-sized pieces, maybe just a little at a time. Maybe one thing, one experience, one memory, one person, but primarily ourselves. And let's remember that, you know, the four agreements. Don't take things personally. Be impeccable with your word. That's the first one. Be impeccable with your word. Don't take things personally. Don't make assumptions. And what's the fourth one? Always do your best. Will you kind of take that not only into what you're doing right now and what you plan to do next, but think back over your life in one true sense of the word. You have always done your best. If you had known better, you would have done better, right? You operated, you and I operated from the place in consciousness where we were right then. We had developed ourselves in our spiritual evolutionary process up to a certain point, and we were acting and thinking and behaving in a way that was in alignment with what we knew right then. We can let that go now. Because we've made great progress, and part of the progress we've made was because of some of those actions that took place. So we want to keep that fourth agreement and continue to know, I'm always doing my best. And let's trust that what we did helped us to move into this powerful moment of right now. We are co-creators with the infinite. God is creating all the time, and we are creating right along with that infinite creative process. It's working in and through us to the degree that we keep the instrument of our body, emotions, and mind clear. And keeping it clear means letting go of that stuff that we do not own and do not wish to let it own us. So this co-creative process is taking place all the time. And it's wonderful. It's powerful. It's what Ernest Holmes taught us about. It's what the ancients have taught us about. As you sow, so shall you reap. There is this wonderful process that we are a very integral part of. And we want to use it by moving into the powerful moment of now. So when you think about something that you're glad you released and don't do anymore, let it go quickly and smile. There's something wonderful about smiling instead of, wish I hadn't done that. Did it. Ta-da. Let it go. Now let's feed our minds and hearts only what we truly desire. What do we really desire? What do we want to form for the future, for the tomorrows to come? Is it about more love for ourselves and for all the people that we know and those who are coming into our lives? Yeah. Is it about wisdom, making the right choices at the right time that benefit ourselves and everybody else that we might encounter? Is it about prosperity? Is it about a sense of knowing that this is an opulent universe and we are a finite part of the infinite, and that means what is true of the infinite is true of us, and so we too have the ability to receive and to give and to receive and to give as a recirculating fountain of prosperity. We want to plant those seeds and let them come up and have a healthy harvest. Would we love to have the employment that we have, something that feels wonderful, that we can hardly wait to get up and begin in the morning? Those are seeds to be planted now. And it has nothing to do with your level of education, your past experience, and those interesting situations where they say, somebody is just fresh out of school and ready to go, and they have all the great ideas, and it's like, well, what's your experience? How am I going to get my experience if you don't hire me? So let's not get into that little sense of, yeah, but. Yeah, buts are like rabbits. You know, they just multiply. So we want to get rid of the yeah, buts. Rabbits are fine. I love rabbits. I know you have one. His name is Thumper. Really? But we want to let the excuses go. Forget them. And if you find yourself, this is a place for discipline. If we find ourselves thinking, well, yeah, I could maybe do that, but I don't think I really have that. Excuse me, are you one with the infinite life of God? Answer me.
Yes.
Excuse me, do you have the power of the present moment to create something new?
Yes.
You see, you are so smart. That's why I love coming and hanging out with you. We have within us an incredible power. It's a power for good. It's ours to use. We want to use it to create a fabulous future for ourselves personally, for our loved ones, for our community, and ultimately for the world. But we have to start right here, embracing the love that embraces us constantly. This infinite wisdom, this divine love, always at work within us. We need to become aware of it. That's what we do in our quiet meditative times. And then to share that with another person is wonderful. Reverend Mike and I love to sit quietly in meditation together. And it's an amazing thing where we don't time it. When we choose to, usually we do our own. But when we have the joy of sitting together in meditation, it's like it. When we're complete and we both know it. We let ourselves be inspired and guided in that way. Do you let yourself be inspired and guided so that you're led intuitively into what's the next thing for you to do, the next step for you to take? It's a wonderful, wonderful way to live. So let's come into this greater awareness, this greater realization of Spirit's activity in us. That's the most loving thing that we can do for ourselves. It is not I of myself, but the power and the presence within me that does it all, right? The power and the presence within each of us that does it all. I challenge you to take the index finger on your right hand and wiggle it. Okay, so far so good. Now, I challenge you to think about this is the right side of the body, so it would start, the signal would start on the left side of the brain, right? So I'd like you to go to the exact spot where that begins, know where that is, and then instruct each neuron, muscle, fiber, everything to make your finger wiggle. Who can do that? And I just got through saying how smart you were. And that's how smart you are, because you know that you of yourself, I of myself, do nothing all by ourselves. We can't even wiggle a finger by ourselves. And one of the most loving things that we can do for ourselves is to realize it is not I, but this loving presence and this amazing power within me that does it all. And that lets us relax a little bit. We can step back and there's no more strain or strife. We have the ability to live in the flow of life. And there she is now. That's flow. We live in the flow of life. I have renamed people her name in the past. Years ago, I remember working with somebody who was tense all the time. And finally, after a while, she relaxed and realized it was God working through her. And I said, I'm going to call you flow from now on. Because the flow of spirit is taking place. We live in that powerful place, that graceful, gentle, easy place that is the most loving thing we can do for ourselves. I was reading a woman named Kristen Neff, who has authored a number of books about self-compassion. And she says there are three elements to it. Self-kindness versus self-judgment. And that's a very important distinction, because I think many of us are more acquainted with the self-judgment than we are the self-kindness. Would you agree? She says, self-compassion entails being warm and understanding toward ourselves when we suffer, fail, or feel inadequate. rather than ignoring our pain and flagellating ourselves with self-criticism. I trust there's no one here who entertains the notion of self-flagellation. She says, self-compassionate people recognize that being imperfect, failing, and experiencing life's difficulties is inevitable, so they tend to be gentle with themselves when confronted with painful experiences rather than getting angry when life falls short of these set ideals. And she says, people cannot always be or get exactly what they want. Did you notice that? Not instantly. And sometimes what we think we want is not really, in the long run, what's going to be for our greatest good. Just saying. I don't like it when people say that. Just saying. When this reality is denied or fought against, suffering increases in the form of stress, frustration, and self-criticism. When this reality is accepted with sympathy and kindness, greater emotional equanimity is experienced. I love that word, equanimity. It is right up there for me with homeostasis. So that's self-kindness versus self-judgment. So important for us to make the decision to stop judging ourselves. You know what happens when we stop judging ourselves? I have found that then we are less inclined to judge other people. Because many times the judgment that we are, the criticism that we're sending forth in our minds, at least to someone else, really is about ourselves. Because we're recognizing what they're doing is something that we do. Then the other two elements of self-compassion she has are common humanity versus isolation. She's suggesting it's not a good idea to isolate. Now there are times we need to get come into that precious sense of spirit as me without thinking of anyone else, anything else, just being in that presence. I need that. I love being with people. I especially love being with you. But there are times I want to fill up with spirit and not think about anything else. And so that's different from isolation, where we just take ourselves out of life for a while. And that happens sometimes when things aren't the way that we really are happy to have them being. And so we realize that this self-compassion involves recognizing that suffering and personal inadequacy is sometimes part of the shared human experience, and we can help each other as we move through that. And then third one, self-kindness versus self-judgment, common humanity versus isolation. And the third one is mindfulness versus over-identification, meaning this mindfulness is about being present, being aware of who you truly are, being aware of who everyone else is, being aware of the possibilities that exist right in this moment, as opposed to identifying myself as I'm only this or I am that. You know, most people, when you're asked, you're at a party, you know, well, who are you? I'm an attorney. Who are you? We identify with the jobs that we do. Sometimes we identify with our place in the family, or our family itself, or where we came from, or our ancestry. We can over-identify with the human aspects of our being rather than being mindful of who we truly are and who everyone else is as well. Oh, who loves John O'Donohue? Anamkara. Anamkara is a Catholic priest who has just written beautifully, including his wonderful book called Anamkara, which means in Celtic soul friend. Soul friend, Anamkara. And he has in his book Anamkara, this one is a Celtic blessing of solitude. Because this is an important... Solitude is different from isolation. Solitude. May you recognize in your life the presence, power, and light of your soul. May you realize that you are never alone, that your soul in its brightness and belonging connects you intimately to the rhythm of the universe. May you have respect for your own individuality and difference. May you realize that the shape of your soul is unique, that you have a special destiny here, that behind the facade of your life, there is something beautiful, good, and eternal happening. May you learn to see yourself with the same delight, pride, and expectation with which God sees you in every moment. Do you realize that God doesn't see your boo-boos? Do you realize that God creates everything and says, "Ooh, that's good"? You read that in Genesis, "Ooh, that's good." That every expression of God's creation out of itself, what else is God going to create from except itself? There's only one life. It's God's life. And God says, "That's good." And God never changed its mind about you. Why then do we come up with all of this silly stuff? Why do we put ourselves down instead of looking in the mirror with the song that Elise sang this morning? You're beautiful. God sees us only in our wholeness, only in our perfection. And that's the reason we're able to return to it when we're feeling pain or when we're going through a temporary illness or a loss of some kind. Because the universe always perceives us in wholeness and then waits for us to finally catch up and realize that's the truth of our being. So sometimes we need that sense of solitude, and we need to take precious time away and just fill up with spirit. So Reverend Mike and I are going to model this for you. We're leaving Wednesday, but only for 9 or 10 days. We're going to Big Sky this week. Big Sky, Montana. We're taking off Wednesday morning. We leave about 4:30. Will you be up to say goodbye to us? No? And we thought you cared about us. And we start out, we fly to Salt Lake City, we rent a car, we drive to Idaho Falls and spend the night, and then we drive on to the Grand Tetons and Jellystone Park. And then Saturday, we wind up the short drive to Big Sky, Montana. And it's a retreat. And it's one that our dear friend, Reverend Charles Geddes, has done for 40-some years. He asked me year after year to please go, and I was always busy, couldn't go. He asked Mike for years to go. He was always busy, couldn't go. Neither of us has been before. We're going for the first time together. Isn't that wonderful? And here's the best part. We're not presenting. We're not doing anything except soaking it up. And we even got an email saying, those of you who are now registered for the retreat, wouldn't you like to volunteer to be a greeter? We looked at each other and went, no, not this time. Wouldn't you like to be in the prayer treatment room? Not this time. That doesn't mean if somebody asked us for prayer, we wouldn't be delighted to do it. But we're not signing up. So we're modeling for you what self-love and self-care can look like. And we're just absorbing and we're rewiring. So we'll have even more to give you when we come back. Next Sunday, in fact, our beloved Reverend Jackie Dougherty is going to be here speaking. And it'll be wonderful to see her again, won't it? And so we're very pleased that everybody is taken care of wherever we go. And we're starting out by taking care of ourselves. So I'm going to complete this with another thing from John O'Donohue. It's called a Celtic friendship blessing, which also includes the nurture of ourselves. May you be blessed with good friends. May you learn to be a good friend to yourself. May you be able to journey in that place in your soul where there is great warmth, feeling, and forgiveness. May this change you. May it transfigure that which is negative, distant, or cold in you. May you be brought into the real passion, kinship, and affinity of belonging. May you treasure your friends. May you be good to them, and may you be there for them. May they bring you all the blessings, challenges, truth, and light that you need for your journey. May you never be isolated. May you always be in the gentle nest of belonging with your Anamkara. Will you say with me, I invite the essence of love to nurture me. I invite the essence of love to nurture me. I allow it to raise me to new heights. I allow it to raise me to new heights. I love myself. I live joyfully with grace in this moment. I live joyfully with grace in this moment. And so, beloveds, beginneth our lesson. Thank you for listening to our podcast. We love having such a special means of connecting with you and trust you have enjoyed this message. If you have benefited from and been uplifted by these ideas and would like to learn more about our spiritual community, please go to our website at cslphilly.com. And if you wish to express your gratitude, simply click on the donate button to experience the joy of conscious giving. Your generous support makes it possible to share these messages of inspiration with all the world. Please share this message with anyone you feel might benefit and encourage them to subscribe to our podcast by searching GPCSL on your favorite podcasting application. Again, thank you for joining me and the Greater Philadelphia Center for Spiritual Living Community as together we create a world that works for all.